You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
The countdown is on. Two more days until the Overwatch League 2019 season, and I'm hype. Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Meridon, flying solo for today's episode, episode 29 of the Over Nerds podcast. Thank you for listening. We're going to jump right in to just kind of lay out the groundwork of what's going on in Overwatch League. Like I just said, we got two more days until Overwatch League. As of this recording, it's 2/12/2019. So we're just about to get things started, but before we go into the Overwatch League season, I wanted to talk a little bit about the league, how it works, and also a little something that's going on right now. We'll start with that. It's the community countdown that's going on right now. So there has been this community countdown that's kind of acting as the Overwatch League preseason, sort of like what they had it in the inaugural season. They had some team scrims, which was pretty nice. Ash 1v1s, Ana paintball 1v1, 6v6 capture the flag, which is actually happening tonight, if an hour from this recording, actually. And they're finally ending it off tomorrow on the 13th with a 6v6 showdown with the casters and the people at the desk. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the festivities that happened before the All-Star game last year. Little shenanigans and some fun to get everybody all hyped and ready for this year's Overwatch League season. And I'm sure as hell ready. I've been ready. finally, the withdrawal is being taken away, and we finally get the gift of Overwatch League. So if you're new to Overwatch League, we did go over this last year, but things have actually changed. There's 20 teams now instead of 12 teams. And the format, for the most part, is the same with a few little tweaks. So this is how Overwatch League starts. The season consists of four stages in 5 weeks in each stage. Games will start on Valentine's Day this year, February 14th, and this actually goes on until August 25th. Last year, games started on January 10th and ended June 17th, so we have a little bit of a push in the season since there's the late start here. Stage 1 goes till the 17th of March, so that's February 14th to March 17th. Stage 2 goes from April 4th to May 5th. Stage 3 goes from June 6th to July 7th. And stage 4, the final stage, is July 25th to August 25th. So we're going to get a nice late championship and Overwatch League playoffs. That should be interesting. Hopefully they come back to New York again so I don't have to worry about flying out there to watch the finals. Another change coming this year is that games start on Thursdays and end on Sundays. Last year they started on Wednesdays and ended on Saturdays. The Sundays were the stage playoffs at the end of each stage. Now, the stage playoffs are also tweaked from last year. Last year, the top three teams from the stage made it to a playoff. The first place team got a bye while the second and third place team played each other. And then whatever team advanced would play the first place team for the stage playoff or stage championship. This year is a little different. The top eight teams advance to the playoffs, and the top team wins $200,000. I'm not 100% sure how they're running this, since the games actually do go to Sunday. I'm going to guess that I think that they will be on a Sunday. I believe March 17th is a Saturday. I'm actually checking on the fly. March 17th is on a, actually March 17th is a Sunday, so they might put it during the week. I don't know. Typically what happens is there's a little bit of a break time in between. So what'll probably happen is the stage playoffs will take place the following week, and then the teams will have another week off, and then the second stage happens. Because, yeah, stage one ends on the 17th, and then stage two starts on the 4th. So they're probably just going to do a week of playoffs, which I love. The playoffs were always pretty cool. They always kind of felt a little, like, rushed, like everything was all in the last week of the stage. So with this layout, this actually might be a better viewing experience and kind of lets you come down from the games and come down from all the hype to get ready for some playoff action. We'll see. I actually dug around and couldn't really find the stage playoff format anywhere, but we'll see the way that it plays out. So in each of the matches, it's played in a four-map format like last year. So no matter what, all four maps are played, and map differential plays a role in tie breaking. That's why they always play the four maps. They won't do like a best of five or a best of seven. They just play all of them all the way through. And the last map ends up being a control map if the teams are tied, to kind of have a winner of the game. There will always be a winner of the game. But they play all of them, like I said, for gold. I always say goal differential, like we're talking about regular sports. Map differential. So as for stage one, we'll go through this on each of the stages. So stage one, here are the available maps for each stage. So the first map is going to be control. It's going to be either Busan, Ilios, or Nepal. Hybrid map is next, which is either Hollywood, Kings Row, or Nambani. The assault maps are followed after that with Temple of Anubis, the worst map in the game, Horizon Lunar Colony, and Volskaya Industries. And then the final map is an escort map. The pool for this one is Rialto, Dorado, and Route 66. So I'm excited to see a lot of these actually get played in the Overwatch League this year. Busan is new, and Rialto are new. You did get to see them if you were paying attention and watching Contenders. So we will get to see a lot of these thrown in. I haven't been able to catch any of the scrims or any of this community countdown stuff because I've been super busy. That's going to come into the overthoughts why I've been so busy. But I'm pretty sure that these maps have been played. I'd be shocked if they weren't. If they weren't, then tweet at me and tell me that I'm wrong. But it's going to be nice to see this. It's also going to be nice to see some of these new characters and if they are used often. Wrecking Ball wasn't available in Overwatch League last year. Ash was also not available last year. So Wrecking Ball and Ash come into the picture now. So that should add a little bit of a dynamic thing, assuming that everyone doesn't play GOATs and Reaper continues to be OP as hell. We'll see how the pros play, though. That's one of the big things I'm excited about. I just want to see the comps that the pros are playing. It was all, you know, dominated by Dive for so long. Then Brig came out and the GOATs meta, and they never really looked back. Dive was chosen on a few maps, but it was mainly GOATs. So we'll see how the pros go about utilizing GOATs and Dive and maybe 2-2-2. Okay, so that's basically the main gist of Overwatch League, the community countdown that's going on. Again, continuing tonight if you're listening to this, you know, fresh right when it comes out. Or tomorrow if you want to catch the 6v6 showdown. Thursday is the day. And one thing I do want to say that rhymed was I will actually be out there in Burbank, California on March 7th. I'm going to be catching the night where the Fusion, I'm going to be in the minority, where the Fusion are playing the Los Angeles Valiant. So that should be interesting. Really excited to see it that night. I do believe that Atlanta plays that night. I feel like there was another new expansion team that plays that night, but I don't have it in front of me and I don't feel like pulling it up. But I will be out there March 7th. So if you're out there, tweet at me. Yeah, we'll meet up, talk some Overwatch League, watch the Fusion hopefully win. Sorry if you're a Valiant fan. But speaking of schedules, let's go over the first week. I actually made some predictions as well. So the very first game of the Overwatch League season is a rematch of the championship. I'm glad they're doing this. I was assuming they were going to do this. It's the Philly Fusion versus the London Spitfire, with my pick going to the London Spitfire. Both of these teams really didn't change up too much. Philly did get rid of Hotba, and they did get rid of Shadowburn, but they have EQO in there as well, and they have Sado for Hotba. So I still think they'll be riding high from last season. But London is just, I still feel like that team is just on another level. So I'm picking London over my boys, the Philly Fusion, to start. A second game is the NYXL over the Boston Uprising. NYXL still, I know, another one of those teams that hasn't changed much. They're still a beast. Boston has shed some players, mistakes, has retired. So I gotta go with the NYXL over Boston Uprising. The fourth game of the night is the Seoul Dynasty versus the Los Angeles Valiant. I have the Seoul Dynasty over, not the Valiant, I'm sorry, that's the LA Gladiators. I have the Dynasty over the Gladiators. The Gladiators, I still feel, are a really strong team, but I think that the Dynasty are looking to redeem themselves from their pretty mediocre finish from the inaugural season. So I picked the Seoul Dynasty to win over the LA Gladiators. But don't count the Gladiators out. I think this will be a pretty good matchup. I hope Surefour pops off. The last game of the night, and the one that I want to watch the most, but it's on at 11:30 at night, which pisses me off, is, or will be, the Shanghai Dragons' first win. Again, you've heard it here. Against the Hangzhou Spark. So the Shanghai Dragons bolstered their team with a handful of players from Kangdun Panthera, from the Contenders team, and they were also an Apex team back in the day when Apex was going on, along with keeping Dia Giggity. And why am I drawing a complete blank on his name? And Fearless, there we go. Good thing I had the tab open with their team. But yes, the Shanghai Dragons will win their first game. Guaranteed. You heard it here, probably not first, but we'll pretend. Against the Hangzhou Spark. So, Friday, February 15th, day two. We're all coming down from the hype of day one to come back to the Houston Outlaws versus the Toronto Defiant. So this will be the Defiant's first time in the Overwatch League regular season spotlight up against a pretty strong, still, Houston Outlaws team. And I'll get into the power rankings a little bit later, but I gotta go with the Houston Outlaws beating the Toronto Defiant for that one. Atlanta Reign gets their first match in against the Florida Mayhem, with Atlanta taking their first win of the Overwatch League season. You will see that I have actually put the Mayhem in front of the Atlanta Reign in the power rankings, but I just have a good feeling about Atlanta coming out, you know, balls to the wall against the Florida Mayhem, who are kind of still, in my opinion, stuck in the land of mediocrity. We have San Francisco over Dallas. Dallas Fuel and San Francisco. So, yes, the San Francisco Shock will beat the Dallas Fuel. The San Francisco Shock, as Toxic and I spoke before, are kind of like, they were kind of one of those teams that was in like a rebuild almost from the start. They had players like Sinatra and Super that weren't even 18 when the season started. Those players came in and just started dominating and making a difference immediately. On top of the fact that they also got Striker from the Boston Uprising, I think they're going to have a really strong team this year. I also think that Dallas is going to do pretty good this year, but I have my money in this one on the San Francisco Shock. I think that we should expect the San Francisco Shock to have a pretty good season. The last game is a matchup between two teams that are brand new to the league. That's the Chengdu Hunters and the Guangzhou Charge. I have the Charge over the Chengdu Hunters. These are two teams that are kind of a little bit unknown. I know Hotba from the Fusion went over to the Charge, and Chengdu has a large amount of Chinese and one Taiwanese player So we're kind of going back to the way that we were making predictions last year when we had teams like Boston Uprising that had very unfamiliar faces last year. So I'm going to pick the charge over that, but this is one of those things. The power rankings are going to be a little bit wonky just because of the unknowns and a lot of the players that we don't really know and are familiar with. But go and charge over the Hunters. All right, day three, Saturday, February 16th. The London Spitfire versus the Paris Eternal. I'm going with London Spitfires over this one, over the Paris Eternal. I think Paris is going to have a decent team. They have Soon and Shadowburn on their team, along with a lot of people from Eagle Gaming from their Contenders team rolling. So I think that the Paris Eternal will do pretty good this year. London is just going to be one of those teams, like, they're going to be, I don't know if I'd say unstoppable. They're going to be really, really tough to defeat. In a way, I kind of hope I'm wrong. I really do like watching them. It was a joy to watch them in the finals. Unfortunately, it was beating the Fusion, which really sucked. But I feel like they haven't made very many changes to their roster, and they don't have to because their team is so damn talented. So I'm going with the London Spitfire over the Paris Eternal. The next game is the Washington Justice's debut against the NYXL, and unfortunately for them, it's against the NYXL. So I put the NYXL over the Washington Justice. They will be playing their former player, or their former teammate, Janice, on the Washington Justice. The third game of that day is the LA Valiant versus the Hangzhou Spark. I have the Valiant over the Spark. The Valiant haven't made too many moves themselves. I do know that, you know, Soon is gone and playing for the Paris Eternal, but I still think that they have a pretty strong core on that team. They still have Custa kind of doing the shot calling and leading the way, and Kareev as well. They still have a pretty solid team against a team that's unknown, so we'll have to see. I mean, I'd like to see an upset there. But I'm pretty sure the Los Angeles Valiant will be winning that one. The last game on Saturday is the Vancouver Titans versus the Shanghai Dragons. As much as I want the Shanghai Dragons to win, I have the Vancouver Titans over them. Vancouver Titans have a lot of players from Runaway, from the Contenders Korea team, who have been beasts over there in Contenders Korea. So I feel like the Vancouver Titans are going to hold their own this season. I can see them coming out and beating the Shanghai Dragons. But I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Shanghai Dragons are a knockout team this year. They have a pretty decent roster from what I see. I can't see them being top five, but like I said, they're going to get their first win the first night. I'm going to be shocked if they don't. All right, the first game on Sunday, February 17th, is the Houston Outlaws versus the Boston Uprising. And I have the Outlaws beating the Boston Uprising. I don't feel like this will be a decent year for the Boston Uprising, but I hope they prove me wrong. The second game is the Philly Fusion versus the Reign, and this is where I feel the Philly Fusion will get their first win here against an Atlanta Reign team. Mr. DeFran over there. Hopefully he doesn't throw games this season. The third game is the San Francisco Shock versus the Gladiators, which I have the Shock. Again, I feel like they're going to be this powerhouse team this year with Sinatra and Super in there full time. I have them over the Gladiators. Again, I feel like this is going to be another really good matchup. Like, I think both of their matchups, both of the Gladiators matchups this week are going to be pretty good against Seoul and against the San Francisco Shock. I think they definitely have a chance to beat the Shock, or I'm sorry, the Dynasty, Seoul Dynasty. The Shock, I feel like, are going to beat them, but still, I feel like it's going to be close. My confidence level for the Shock beating them is a lot higher than Seoul beating them. The final game of week one, wrapping everything up, is the Seoul Dynasty versus the Dallas Fuel, the big powerhouse battle that started last year when everyone's thinking that Envious and Lunatic High are going for this crazy rematch. And that game, while that game was pretty hyped, Dallas definitely fell off quick. But this year, I don't think Dallas is going to be the same pushover now that Goats is around and Dive is pretty much dead. Again, it's going to be nice to see how they adjust to the Reaper change and the new characters, but I think Dallas is going to be able to definitely climb out of the depths of the bottom of the league like they were last year. So I have them performing and beating Seoul Dynasty on Sunday to round off the week, and that would be the first week of Overwatch League games. I'm super, super, super excited. I'm sure most of you are ecstatic for this moment to finally come. It's been since July 27th, I think, is when the Spitfire took home the trophy, and DJ Khaled performed a horrible midtime halftime show thing that was cringy as hell. So moving on, I have my power rankings, and again, these are going to be a little wonky because we're going to have a large amount of players that are brand new to the league that aren't one of those people that most of us aren't really familiar with. I did happen to catch a lot of contenders. I didn't happen to catch a lot of Korean contenders, just because they were always on at an unusual time. Same kind of thing with the Pacific contenders. I end up catching a lot of like the Australian contenders because they would be on like right when I was falling asleep. So I'd fall asleep to some Australian contenders. And I would from time to time watch the NA contenders and EU contenders. A lot of these players that you're going to see that are coming from contenders teams are from Korean contenders. And I do know a little bit about them, but not enough to kind of make like a solid assumption that a team will be good or not. So these power rankings are definitely going to change once I get a nice look at these teams this coming week. But I can assure you, number one is the London Spitfire. I've just been blowing smoke up their rear ends this entire time. But the London Spitfire will continue their reign over the league. I can't see that team slowing down right now. Again, like I said, I kind of hope they do in a way, just so we get some different. I know the London Spitfire fans aren't probably a big fan of that rhetoric, but I feel like having somebody different in the top would be nice. Same goes with a few of these here. The NYXL are my number two team. I still feel like they're a disgustingly great team. They still have Big Boss Pine. They still have Sabi Olby. They still have Jonak. You know, they're still popping off. Like, they're a fantastic team. And I was shocked when the Philly Fusion beat them in the playoffs. I was very happy. I still feel that the NYXL, at least on paper, are a better team than the Philadelphia Fusion. Which brings me to number three, the Philadelphia Fusion. Again, little changes, but I still feel like they're a strong team. They still have their pretty awesome support team and their awesome Battle Mercy, Neptuno, and Boombox back there, along with Carpe and EQO. So that should be really interesting. They still have Sato. Then they also still have Snillo. He's on a two-way contract, so he can come up and down from the Philly, the FU, Fusion University team, up to the Overwatch League team. But I place them at number three. Number four is a big one, and I've been, as I was going through, you wouldn't be surprised to hear this. I think that the San Francisco Shock, I put them in the fourth position just because they're going to start off the year now with their strong roster. I feel like they're going to be a powerhouse team and a team to be reckoned with. So I have the San Francisco Shock up there at number four. Don't forget Strikers again, like I said, from Boston Uprising is on that team. So their DPS score is pretty good, pretty good. Number five is Dynasty. The reason that I have the Dynasty at number five is the fact that they're coming off such a lackluster ending to last year, and they're hungry. They're hungry for some wins. That team is lunatic high. A team that was at one point really, really feared. Dominators of Apex, like always going back and forth and beating strong teams like Envious. So I think this is their year to kind of prove to everybody that it was just a hiccup last year and it's time to start kicking things into gear. So I have the Dynasty at number five. Number six, I have the Gladiators. Kind of like the Philadelphia Fusion, nothing really changed much with the Dynasty coming off of, or Gladiators coming off of last year. Still a great team, still have Sure4. I know iRemix now is actually playing on I'm gonna say it was Sly Fox's, one of the Contenders teams. I saw him during a Contenders trial. But they still have a really great team. They still have Shaz and Big Goose back there on support. Awesome Zenyatta player in Big Goose, or Shaz, sorry. So I think that they're still gonna stay, you know, around the top five all season. Maybe mid, you know, 1 to 10, maybe like from 5 to 7. The number 7th place is the Valiant. Still, again, strong team. They lost soon. That's okay. Still have Custa. Still have Kareev. They still have a strong team over there. I think they're going to hold their own and perform pretty well. I can definitely see them making the playoffs. Looking at them on paper, we'll see. The Dallas Fuel are my number 8th pick, with GOATs dominating the competitive Overwatch scene. It's time for the Fuel to prove themselves, to show that, hey, Dive's dead and we suck at it, but we got this. Get Mickey on Brigitte there and just start steamrolling teams. I feel like I might have them a little too low on the list, or a little high, whatever you want to say. I feel like I could probably maybe move them above the Gladiators or the Valiant in maybe like the 5th or 6th position. But we'll have to see. They ended the season really strong with the introduction of Brigitte. Now, even though Brigitte has been nerfed, she's still highly used in top 500 play. So she's definitely still a viable character. All right. This I feel may be a little ambitious, but number 9, the Shanghai Dragons. My notes say, oh yeah, I just did it. The Dragons are in my top 10, and the reason for that is they kept their standout stars. So they have Dia, they have Giggity, and they have Fearless, who were 3 great players for their team, kind of in a black hole abyss of just mediocrity. And they got rid of their mediocre players for some reinforcements from Kongdu Panthera. I think that they are definitely going to hold their own, and there's no way in hell that they go defeated this year. They're going to, like I said, they're going to win their first game on Thursday night. Guaranteed. Guaranteed they win their first game. After that, I have the Houston Outlaws. This is another team where I was just kind of like thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, where do I put them? And I put them after the Dragons. I feel like the Dragons are going to do better than the Outlaws, but the Outlaws are just one of those teams that'll just like sneak up on you and do really well. Another team that hasn't went through much changes. Mooma, Linkser, even Spree, who they hadn't used too much, is still on the team. They still have Rockus, like Boink, and they're just a solid team. I feel like they're going to hold their own. I think I maybe could move them up, but we'll see. We'll see how they perform this week. I have the Boston Uprising after them. That is in the 10th or the 11th spot, with Note, Gamsu, and Kellex staying behind. Their team's kind of up in the air. The replacements that they have that are... that they obtained. They have players like Aim God, Blase, Color Hex, Anxum, who I know is a pretty good Korean player, Fusions, who is a two-way player, and Aelmo, he's actually a Brazilian player. A lot of these players I'm very unfamiliar with, so it's kind of hard for me to kind of set in stone what to expect from this team, but they lost players like Neko, who's on the Defiant now. Mistakes has retired, and Striker is on the San Francisco Shock. So those were some pretty decent players right there, where it's kind of, I don't know how this is going to pan out for them. So I put them in the 11th position. The 12th position goes to one of the newer teams. This is the first newer team on here. And I have the Vancouver Titans. I wasn't sure if I'm kind of disrespecting them or not. They're compiled of a lot of Runaway and Element Mystic players. And of all the expansion teams, I feel like they're going to hold their own ground this year. They're going to perform pretty well just because of the talent that they have from Contenders teams. I may be wrong, but I did put them in the 12th spot. Finally, all of the teams from the inaugural season have been listed except for the Florida Mayhem. Florida Mayhem do still have Tevic. They still have Saya Player, and they actually acquired Hagupen and Zephyr. This team is still, to me, a little mediocre. They don't have Logix anymore, who I thought always popped off. Manitin, Swoosh, Zebusai, Zupa, and Zapis are all gone. So their original team is completely gone, minus Tevic and Saya Player. So we'll have to see how that pans out. Honestly, I feel like they're kind of one of those mediocre middle-of-the-road teams. I have them at 13. I hope they prove me wrong, but that's where I have the Florida Mayhem. Number 14, I have the Paris Eternal with Soon and the people from Eagle Gaming, some players from Eagle Gaming, along with Shadowburn. Rest in peace, my Shadowburn jersey. they have Danye from Team Poland, Nico, Fincy, Ben Beast, HYP, Cruz, Gray, and LH Cloudy. It's another one of those teams that's up in the air. I know Soon and Shadowburn, they pop off. I remember watching Nico from Contenders, and he was a pretty good player. Danye was a standout player from the Polish World Cup team. So I think they do have some talent here. Another one of those teams that's just kind of up in the air. And that's going to be kind of the general gist of the rest of the way down here. Next is the Charge. The Charge does have the former Fusion player Hoppa, who I thought performed pretty well for the Fusion. He's kind of leading a ragtag group of Metabellum players with some World Cup personnel. KYB is playing for him. He was one of the players from the English team, World Cup team. We'll see how they do. The Washington Justice do have three Overwatch League players on there from last year, Otto, Giddo, and Janice. And they look to lead a team full of contenders talents. Again, another one of those teams I just don't know. Otto, I thought, was pretty good. I thought that was kind of a mistake for the Shanghai Dragons to drop Otto. Janice was sort of used by the NYXL. He was kind of more of a bench player, but I thought he was pretty good. Giddo was a player that played on the Dynasty, I believe, right? Wasn't that who he played for? Yeah, he played for the Seoul Dynasty last season, and he was like he was a bench player for the Dynasty. So we'll see how he shines with the Justice. All right. So number 16 is the Defiant. So they have Envy, Neko, and Asher, all from Overwatch League last year. Paired up with some O2 Ardent players. O2 Ardent is a contenders team from Korea that was pretty lackluster. I believe they finished close to the bottom, if not on the bottom of their table over in Korean contenders last year. I put on my notes, yeah, this team's up in the air. Of course, all these are a lot of unknown names. I mean, Envy, Neko and Asher are definitely not unknown names. I do know them, so we'll see how that pans out for them. The Rain has Defran. I did write the article about them. I honestly don't know too much about their team other than Defran. Defran is one of those players that I feel terrible about because the guy has so much talent, yet like the throwing the games with Selfless Gaming still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I'm not sure if he's going to be one of those players. It's kind of like XQC, where he's in the spotlight for the wrong reason. I'm kind of rooting for them because, as I've noted before, the parent company of the company that I work for actually owns this team. So they have a little bit of a close connection to me. So I hope they do well. I hope that Defran doesn't act immaturely and throw games just because he's pissed off. And I hope he doesn't become an XQC version 2, because that stuff really is toxic, in my opinion, and shouldn't be in the league. And just period. So we'll see how they do. They had some mishaps with some of their players. I know one of their players, I think Gator, I think, was at one point banned, and there was another guy that was banned for VAC things in CSGO. There we go. VAC ban. So we'll see how that team goes. It kind of looks like trouble to me on paper, but yeah. The 19th team is the Spark. This team consists of several players from 7 and X6 Gaming from Contenders Korea. Teams that were pretty mediocre. Again, we'll see how they do. And same with the Chengdu Hunters. The Chengdu Hunters are actually like the Shanghai Dragons. I hope not record-wise, but the Shanghai Dragons of the inaugural season. Because they have all Chinese players except for one Taiwanese player. His name is Bacon Jack. I've expressed to many people that I love his name, Bacon Jack. But they have 9 Chinese Contenders players and 1 Taiwanese player. And I did look at Bacon Jack's history because I love his name, and I just wanted to look up Bacon Jack. And Bacon Jack played with Flash Wolves and Stay Frosty. The only thing that I see here is they did perform in the Overwatch Pacific Championship 2017 and the APAC Premier. He's not a Contenders player right now, so we'll see how he pulls his weight on the team, Mr. Bacon Jack. Looks like he did play for the Taiwanese World Cup team in 2017 as well. So that is a breakdown of my power rankings. They're going to change as power rankings do from week to week. So we'll see how accurate I am after the first week. And after the first week and getting to see some of these teams like the Rain, the Spark, the Hunters, the Justice, the Charge, the Eternal, I'll be able to make more of an accurate guess. But I feel like the first week, if you're dealing with a bunch of unknowns, you have to kind of go with what the team looks like on paper. And it was kind of hard to compare of what the team looks like on paper compared to like the teams from last year that have actually been playing and you know kind of what to expect. So moving on to overthoughts, I had 2 things for overthoughts. The first overthought that I had is, how is Reaper treating you? I definitely want to hear your tweets at the Overnerds on Twitter. How is this Reaper change treating you? I've been doing some competitive with a new team that I'll be talking about, and in quick play, and man, he is pretty crazy right now. He gets that healing buff now where he gets 50% healing from his shots. He starts Death Blossoming and he's like pretty hard to kill when he's Death Blossoming. So I just want to hear your opinion. Very short overthoughts, pretty much. I just want to hear your opinion. What do you think of this? People are calling it the Reaper meta, the Goats Killer. How are your experiences? And if you play Reaper, how are you enjoying this? I'm pretty sure it feels pretty good. One of the things I did want to bring up is this team that I'm playing on. I actually just got promoted to a captain today for our main Lions 1 team. It's called the Mighty Lions. They're actually on the MightyLions.org website. It's MightyLions.org, not the Mighty Lions. They actually posted our podcast up there, which is awesome. But we're basically like a mid-gold, low-plat team that's looking to get into some competitive Overwatch, getting into tournaments, you know, scrimming each other, having a good time in comp, working on things that we suck at, working on our weaknesses and strengthening our strengths. I'm super excited for this to get lift up off the ground. We're pretty much there, but I just wanted to kind of throw that tidbit out there. Pretty cool group of guys. I'll link the Discord. I don't think we're recruiting right now, but if you want to jump in on the Discord, you're always welcome to join the community. There's a lot of people that are always playing Overwatch and a lot of Apex Legends too. And if you're into those games, jump in the Discord and, you know, throw something in the chat or join one of the general voice chat channels, and there will always be someone playing a game on there, and everyone I've met on there is pretty great so far. So definitely check them out, mightylions.org. You can get the Discord thing from the Discord link from there. Again, I'll post one in the description of the cast. So, that's going to do it. Flying solo. I'm almost out of complete breath. A 38-minute episode. 38 minutes of content here before I finish their start on this outro. But, flying solo here. Where you can find me. Twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. Taking a little break from streaming. I've been playing a lot of Overwatch with this team, so it's kind of been pushed back to the back burner, like, unfortunately, it kind of always is. Twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. Throw me a follow on there. I am planning on getting a new processor, so hopefully the quality will definitely up itself coming soon. Also, you can find me at TheMagaming on Twitter. So for the Overnerds, please tweet at us. Let us know, again, what you think about Reaper. Talk some Overwatch League with us. Tweet at us at TheOvernerds. You can also find us on Facebook.com/TheOvernerds, on Instagram at The_Overnerds, and email us any of your questions. You can also tweet questions too, because I know it's 2019. You could just tweet it. But if you're looking to email us questions, email us at TheOvernerds@gmail.com. If you liked our intro song, definitely check out Max Brown on SoundCloud. He's awesome. He does great work. I know he's done some stuff for Toxic, and he's also, of course, done our intro. You can also find our podcast, if you're not listening to it on Geekscape, on thegeekscape.network. They host a huge line of nerdy podcasts. The podcast I wanted to spotlight this week, and they just started recording again, is the Disneyto podcast. It is ran actually by two coworkers and a Matt Kelly, who is also a coworker of mine. And they sit down, drink a glass of wine, and talk about Disney. It's very, very interesting. I love it. I was a Disney kid, so I get a lot of enjoyment listening to people discuss it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. If not, there are tons of other podcasts on there. Analog Jones, the Geekscape podcast itself. So definitely check it out, geekscape.net. All right, that is going to do it for episode 29. Thanks for tuning in, and I will listen to you. I will talk to you next week. See you guys.
Hey, do you guys like horror movies?
I do.
Do they always have to be good movies?
No way.
I prefer them to be crap, personally.
Well, then you guys are in luck, because Horror Movie Night is your expert podcast on both horror movies, good, bad, and gooey. It's just a show of three friends.
Brother. Yeah, two brothers and a friend, I think you would call. But we're all friends here, you know.
We're friends. We're all friends here. Yeah. We're friends. We goof around, but we talk about movies, but we normally don't actually talk about movies, which is kind of weird. It's a weird dynamic. You have to really listen to understand it. But we put together a show every Friday morning. You can find our show, hmnpodcast.com. We're part of the Geekscape Network. We are, you know, we're good guys. Just check us out. We're good, silly guys. We're fun.
Please like me.
Please?
That's pretty much the impetus of everything we do, is to be accepted.
We want to be loved. hmnpodcast.com.